Now, friends, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are sleeping." That's the better translation. "That ye sorrow not, even as the rest, which have no hope." Now, this is a very remarkable passage of Scripture we're beginning here today, and we'll spend a little time with it. This passage through the rest of this chapter, verses 13 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians 4, has been called one of the most important prophetic passages of Scripture. It teaches the imminent and impending coming of Christ. Now, that does not mean the immediate. And very candidly, it does not even mean the soon coming of Christ. Now, a great many people use that expression. Now, Paul never used it like that, because if he'd have said the soon coming of Christ, why, many would assume that he meant in their lifetime or shortly afterward, and now it's been 1900 years. Now, actually, the word means the imminent coming, and it doesn't mean the soon coming. It means the approaching coming, and it means it's the next event on the agenda of God. Now, well, Miss McGee and I took a DC-10 from the Los Angeles International Airport. Well, that was a new experience for us. It was a brand new plane, and it was just shiny bright. And so everything was new. And we, you know, just noticed everything. I always do when I fly anyway, make sure that they're doing everything right. And I wouldn't know whether it were or not, but I keep tab. And so it just took off beautifully from the airport. We went out over the Pacific, made a turn to the left, and came back actually over the edge of the airport. And as we looked down, why, the captain of the plane came on. He introduced himself. He told us how high we were at that particular time, and believe me, we were already up in the air. And he said that we would go up to about, I think he said, 32,000 feet. That would be the level we'd be flying that day. And he then gave the weather report. He says, "The weather's lovely here in California today, as you can see." And he says, "The weather in Miami, Florida, where we'll be landing, it's good there and expects to be nice weather when we arrive there. But, of course, we go over Texas, and nobody knows what the weather's going to be there. But we hope to have a good flight today." And then he concluded by saying, "Our next stop is Miami, Florida." Well, now, friends, none of us jumped up, grabbed our hand luggage, and rushed for the door because he said the next stop. Actually, he meant it's imminent. The next stop is imminent. That is, we're not going to stop anywhere else. Now, of course, we could have gone to Havana, but we didn't, thank the Lord. And yet I've always wanted to see Havana. But anyway, in 5 hours, we landed in Miami. But all the way along, that was imminent, you see. But it wouldn't come up for 5 hours. But that was the thing we would be prepared for, because it was imminent. It's the next thing. Now, the difference between that and today, the coming of Christ for His church, is that it's not 5 hours away. In fact, we don't know how far away it is. It could be 5 days. It could be 5 weeks. It could be 5 months. It could be 5 years. It could be 100 years. It could be a long ways off. But it's imminent. That is, it is the next event. And that is the teaching here. And Paul makes it very clear. He says, "We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." Now, Paul believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could return in his lifetime. But he did not say or believe that he would come in his lifetime. He just said he could come. But he did not insist he would come. And the attitude that he gave was looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And over in Philippians, the 3rd chapter at verse 20, and remember when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, we said that was the first epistle he wrote on his second missionary journey. But when he wrote Philippians, he's an old man. He's in prison in Rome. Now, has he changed his theology? There are those that say he did. Well, listen to him. Verse 20, for our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, at the end of his life, was still looking for him. In other words, it was imminent. Now, Paul labeled this coming of Christ for his church, when we'd be caught up to meet the Lord in there, he labeled that the rapture of the church. Now, there are those today that hold a different viewpoint. They say the Bible does not teach the rapture. You don't find that word in the New Testament. I insist that you do. And it's found in this passage of Scripture at verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm reading it. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I break off the reading right there. Now, the word caught up here is a very interesting word. The Greek word is harpazo, and it means caught up, as it's translated here. That's a good translation. It can mean grasped hastily. It can mean to snatch up. It can mean to lift. It can mean to transport. And it can mean to rapture. And to rapture is just as good a word as caught up. And if you just don't like this word, rapture, may I say to you that all you want to do then is just to argue a problem of semantics. That is what word that you're to use. Paul taught the rapture of the church. Now, if you don't like it, go back and use the original word. Just say that you believe in the harpazo, for that's the Greek word. And it means caught up, and it means rapture. And it can mean either one. So I'm not interested in arguing with any of these brethren about a problem of semantics. We're talking now about eschatology, about the rapture of the church that can take place at any moment, and that it is the next happening in the program of God.